This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Descalso hits a bouncing ball to Hoskins at first. He throws to second. They get one. The throw back to first is a double play, and the Phillies have beaten the Cubs here at Wrigley Field.
Middays on the Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic was covering an interesting regular season Cubs game last night. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Follow him on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. Hey, Sahadev, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Yeah, that was quite a entertaining, hyped-up game for late May, and maybe didn't quite deliver on the hype as far as, you know, 7-8 innings of Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish, but I think Darvish really passed a nice test there, and then as far as I'm concerned, I think Joe Maddon is concerned and optimistic going forward.
Did you get a chance to talk to Jake while you were palling around, or do you plan to while he's while his team's in town?
I haven't had a chance to chat with him, but usually our chats are very in depth and fun whenever we get going on pitching or baseball stuff. So he's definitely one of those guys I do seek out as far as visiting teams and when someone's in town.
We had a conversation a couple weeks ago with Sam Fuld, who is in the administration of the Phillies, and we talked to him about the changing dynamics of the way teams are run. And this was top of mind with Joe Girardi being in our baseball lives as a broadcaster and him talking about his future as a manager and what teams are doing. Sammy Fuld brought up the idea that the way Gabe Kapler operates as an arm of the front office, it isn't like it's us and them. The guys in the uniforms are different than the guys out of the uniforms. They're all on the same page. They all speak the same language. I wonder if Theo and Jed look over at that kind of model and say, hey, we're not quite there yet, even though things are working the way we're doing it kind of in an old-fashioned way.
Well, you know what? I think they're really headed in that direction with the coaches. Look at Tommy Hotovy. Look at Anthony Iaposi. I think Hotovy is a perfect example of where the game is going as far as coaches go. This is a guy that understands the numbers, that really embraces them, that digs into them. But he's not just a numbers guy. You know, he's not some guy that they pulled from behind the desk and said, hey, you're our pitching coach now. This is a former pitcher. He has legitimate, real, established relationships with these guys. He's able to communicate. I think that should go across to all the entire staff. I think Maddon has done a remarkable job this year. I don't think we should look at Maddon and say he's some old school guy. He's always been part of the new school, and that maybe he kind of got passed up in a way because so many people embrace the new school. I think what he's done this year is absolutely remarkable as far as being able to be a coach again, being part of a staff in a sense, instead of just managing and overlooking everyone and letting them interact with the players. He's really helped guys out this year, and I think it's helped the team.
You know, I want to get into the bullpen a little bit here, Sahadev, but not necessarily with the back end yet. I find it interesting that since coming off the disabled list, Mike Montgomery in 3 of 4 appearances has come in relief of Yu Darvish. The one he didn't was a 45-pitch outing on the 17th. That's a 14-6 win over the Nationals. An opportunity for him to stretch things back out with a Darvish start just 3 days later. Are they pairing them at all? Is that in their brain? Do they have one guy just dedicated to relieve Darvish?
Yeah, you know, I think I don't want to say they've come out and said that, but I think that's in the back of Joe's mind, being aware that he may need a long man. I actually think that Darvish has taken a couple steps forward here, and he's less of a concern than just the bullpen, or even I'm starting to watch how they hit in situationally again. Even though they are very good overall in the season, it's been kind of a downtrend these last 2 weeks. But yes, in Montgomery, I think you're going to see more of those 40, 50 plus pitch outings. I think he needs, even though Joe said he's going to use him in all different types of roles, I think Montgomery kind of wants an established role. I think he feels more comfortable health-wise. We've seen him get banked up over the last couple of years because he's not getting that normal, just a three-batter guy, or I'm going to be a starter, or I'm a long reliever. He's been, you know, shuffled around to all different types of roles, and I think that's hurt him physically. They stretched him out for a reason. They didn't do that in the spring, and I think he believes that, or I know he believes that caused him to wake up one morning and not be able to move his arm, and he was having some, you know, issues there, and the injury kind of set him back. But I think if you see him going forward, you're going to see more long outings. I think you said it was three or four. That one outing was really short, and it was one of those surprising ones where I think they could have even used a long man, and it would have made more sense to hold off on him, because I think his spot in the order was coming up. I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head, but I think his spot in the order came up. That's the only reason he faced like two or three batters in that outing, and he wasn't that sharp, if I'm recalling correctly.
A lot of moving parts in the solution to the back end of the bullpen, a place where Connor didn't want to go, but I will. Pedro Strop with a 25-pitch bullpen. Brandon Morrow expected to, or did play catch, they said, from 25 feet to 40 feet. So I don't know if the Cubs feel that the answers to their high-leverage bullpen lie within, or if, as Theo Epstein alluded, he said you'll see a higher volume of smaller depth deals, adding to even AAA clubs for potential September depth. They got to take care of all of that earlier in the year. Anthony Swarzak moved yesterday, and Joe Sheehan was thinking that might portend the beginning of these bullpen arrangement trades.
Yeah, that's exactly what we talked to Theo about yesterday. It was a brief session with him, but he admitted, that there's a lot of bad teams. He didn't say that, but there's a lot of teams that are falling out of it early in the American League. I think that leads to more teams selling. I think you're going to see teams be aggressive. Does that mean now in late May? Probably not. Basically, I asked him, does the lack of an August deadline change anything? And he just said, you're going to see those smaller moves, which you just said about that. I don't think this means that movement gets moved up earlier drastically, but you may see stuff in late June, early July. I think the Cubs have to address the bullpen. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I wrote it two weeks ago, right after right before Pedro Strop got hurt, and now it's even more urgent. You can expect both, or you can hope both those guys are coming back. I think Strop's going to be fine, and he will be back in 10 days or so. Maybe that's it. I'm just kind of guesstimating with what they've told us, but who knows what Morrow's doing? You can't sit on your hands. This team is too good, too talented to not add one more arm. You can go back and look at the performances from last night. It's not like Brock was terrible. It's not like Kyle Ryan is not usable. These guys that 0-2 pitch, I'm sure Kyle Ryan would tell you he wants it back every day of the week. But this is a solid bullpen that's lacking a lights-out reliever. Even with Strop back, they have to add a high leverage guy. I just cannot imagine a scenario where Theo Epstein isn't aggressive about it. He sees what this team is. We all see how good they are. And with that lights out reliever, he's always been aggressive in getting that guy that they need. And they really need one more player to really, really clean this team up. Sure, there's little other things that they could add, maybe strengthen up the depth a bit with on the bench or whatever you're looking for. There are little things. As far as the big thing, they need that lights out reliever. And there's going to be some big name, if not multiple, available.
You mentioned that you've shifted some of your focus and perhaps even concern over the offense and a lack of situational hitting. What's got you looking harder than other places?
You know what? I guess I should say when I do that, it's more me watching. This is what I'm paying attention to, and I'm watching to see how they're doing in those runners in scoring position. I just looked this up this morning. I want to say they're eighth in baseball with runners in scoring position. Perfectly fine. That's a very acceptable. But they're tumbling down. The last 2 weeks, they're 29th in these situations when it comes to batting average, when it comes to weighted runs created plus, when it comes to hard contact. They're pulling the ball, again, way too much. in these situations and talk to Joe Maddon. What does he want to see? Use the entire field. Don't pull the ball, especially in these situations. Some bad luck at times. I want to see the BABIPs like insanely low, like something like 170 or something like that. But it's like I said, there's not a lot of hard contact, so it's not all bad luck. I think that shifts. I expect it to shift. But I've always said that the past few years, and they've been a below-average team. Maybe not below average, but below what their normal offense is. They've always been below what their normal offense is with runners in scoring position during this run of playoffs. Even during 2016, it was slightly below, but it was still below. This year, they're actually doing better with runners in scoring position than they are overall. So I think that's a positive sign. I expect it to turn. But like I said, past 2 weeks, since the start of that Marlins series, they won 3-4. But go back and look at those numbers. And then I want to say the Brewers series, they were like 1-27 yep. with runners in scoring position. It's just something that I'm watching. I'm not going to freak out about these things. I'm not the type to overreact to 2 weeks of data. But I also, we have a history with this team where we talk about it repeatedly. And it's something that gets hammered home a lot. So you just want to see it turn.
David Bodie is the Cubs' 10th regular, 40 games, 130 plate appearances, 114 at-bats. He's essentially Daniel Descalso's playing partner. What's eating David Bodie right now? What's eating him? What's holding him back? Go ahead.
Yeah, he's chasing. I've seen that actually a few guys are starting to chase a little bit more. I don't know if they're trying to step up, if they're trying to establish themselves. I talked to Bodie a little bit. Actually, he had a two-hit game maybe a week ago. It was near the end of their last homestand. I talked to him because he'd been in a slump, and I just asked him. I was like, "Hey, what does it feel like? You know, that's got to feel good to just get those couple hits after you've been in a little slump." And he kind of just stared at me, and I said, "Are you upset about this?" And he kind of just said, "No. I've noticed it." It does feel great. It feels good to get that off your chest and just get a hit again and make sure that, you know, you've not completely lost it. So these things do weigh on players. So he surely realizes that he's slumping right now, and you do start to press, and you do start to wonder, oh man, how am I going to get back? I was doing so well before. How would I find this again? And it's almost like, you know, sometimes it lasts 2 weeks, sometimes it lasts a season. We saw it with Jason Hayward. We've seen it with so many other players. I'm not sure how long this lasts and what exactly is the problem. He doesn't hit breaking balls yet. He needs to lay off them and really find his pitch again. But I'm not seeing something that tells me he's irretrievably lost here.
It sounds like a pat solution, but if I go back to what you wrote about the Joe Maddon hitting mantra, think middle of the field away. It looks like he's coming open early. It looks to me like he's selling out a little bit on the pull side, and I think he could be best served just hearing Joe Maddon in his head drive the ball middle away, maybe on those breaking pitches, let it get in on you instead of going out and getting it and using the opposite side of the field, because the Cubs, as a team, for whatever reason, are not sacrificing home run power in that effort.
Yeah, no, I think that's part of it goes back to what I say about his pressing. He's trying to do too much, and you're right. When you're trying to pull the ball, when you're trying to sell out, nothing good ever happens. I mean, I think what Joe said is we're not trying. When they were going well, they weren't trying to hit home runs, and they were hitting home runs. So you got to go back to kind of almost reset at times and stop trying to drive the ball. It'll come. These guys all have power. These guys are all talented offensive players. It's a deep offense. Part of what I also wrote is that, you know, as much as it looks like it's just four players that are producing, at different times, different players are stepping up. We're seeing Albert Elmora have a nice run here after an absolutely dreadful start. I mean, he was really bad offensively to start the season. That he's bounced back and he's nearly about league average now, that's a nice stretch. Jason Hayward, who got off, was insanely hot to start the season and now cool down, and now he's had a couple good games. I think those are, you just want to see a couple slightly above average offensive players after the core four, the superstars that they have. Those guys have to carry the team, so to say, but you also need one or two other guys. Just just produce every now and then, and it doesn't matter who it is and how consistent they are, as long as someone else is coming through with a big hit. I mean, Descalzo had it yesterday. They couldn't finish off that game, and obviously they stranded a lot of runners early. That play, the when you have bases loaded and less than two outs and you come away with no runs twice, that has to gnaw at a hitting coach and an offense.
So I know it's early. We're a little past the quarter point of the season, and you haven't seen a whole lot of Phillies in this series yet, but what does this Phillies team look like for you? These two might match up in a playoff series.
Yeah, it's a tough bullpen. It's a starting staff that I think is average at best, and an offense that can get really hot. I haven't watched them enough to know for sure, but I don't think they're a team that's at the upper tier of the NL when it's all said and done. But, you know, who knows what kind of moves they make and how they look when they're fully healthy. I know they're a little banged up in the bullpen, but I have big questions about their bullpen overall. And I think it's more of a question for them than it is for the Cubs, in my opinion, just because a lot of these guys are banged up and don't have the pedigree, I guess. Maybe that's a little bit of bias because I'm more familiar with the Cubs and I see I've just spent so much time breaking everything down, and I think they have the pieces, and I know what Theo will do to fix the issues.
Sahada, thank you. We'll
Thanks,
talk
man.
Again soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Sahada Sharma of The Athletic.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.